You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, starting your own business comes with some understandable learning curves. These unexpected challenges can offer lessons in resilience, patience, humility, even recalibrating a brand. But our next guest went through all of that and then some, to the point where their entire professional identity, built upon nearly a decade of hard work, was forced to be completely overhauled. Due to the fine print of a contract, she had to start completely over, including publicly changing her birth name. Cheval is now the designer of women's shoes, named She is Cheval, but Cheval also calls herself a chief inspiration officer, using her life-changing experience as an entrepreneur to protect other young business owners. Cheval is also the founder of the nonprofit A Girl You Might Know to support young creatives, which includes guidance on their legal rights so they avoid being subjected to unfair terms. Cheval, thank you for making the time.
Hi, Vicky. Happy second day of spring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I welcome spring. You know, it was so difficult for me to find the right way to introduce you because on the one hand, your story is so unique, but on the other hand, it can certainly help so many people. Where would you like to begin?
I do have a very rare story, and I've become a bit of a cautionary tale. Not just as a designer, former designer, but I think for a lot of artists in a variety of industries in which they have to sign some form of a contract. So my position right now is not really to play Monday quarterback. You know, I want to move forward and find a way to reinvent myself, share my story in a way that's productive for other young artists or entrepreneurs or designers, and warn them about the way contracts can be interpreted and why it's so important to really think about how to safeguard your interests so that what happened to me does not happen to anyone else.
Right. And this started when you were 25 years old, right? And like most of us, we're just trying to get our foot in the door and we're excited to sign a contract and enter into an agreement. But then that ended up having really traumatic consequences for you.
Absolutely. And I signed my contract without a lawyer. And while, you know, many people would argue 25 is not that young, you know, we really don't know what we don't know. And at the time, you know, I just was so excited for the opportunity. And I felt a form of pressure that I think a lot of people can relate to, that if you don't agree, you know, or you push back or show that you're combative, you might miss out on an opportunity. And so one of the things I hope to do with A Girl You Might Know Foundation is to provide curriculum and negotiation tips and ways to kind of harness your own worth so that somebody else is not defining it for you.
Yeah. And your career involved before, you know, in your past Cheval life, you know, was you were on Say Yes to the Dress. You had a very successful career, but that also involved you when you didn't end up when you had that dispute with your contract negotiation, which is still continuing. I mean, you couldn't be a designer in the industry that you built a career on. You can't even use your birth name, right, publicly. And that's what led you to change it to Cheval.
Right. I cannot use my birth name in any business or commercial activity, nor can I actually use it to publicly identify. I had signed a long-term agreement, an employment agreement, and I gave rights for my name to be trademarked for the bridal collection I was designing. And years later, after, you know, being very hyper-focused and working my hardest to build up this brand, my contract was coming to an end. So I attempted to renegotiate, and I felt that there were circumstances that really did not exist at the time of signing that needed to be factored in. And so I was hoping to be seen as a respectable businesswoman that brought value in a variety of ways. But things for me, I felt, went outside the boundaries of what a head designer would do. So I felt like those should be factored in. And that actually led to a pretty tumultuous negotiation period that resulted in my former employer suing me in federal court while I was still working at the company. I resigned very quickly after that, but the main contention was over the rights of my name, as well as social media accounts that I had opened and ran as what I led to believe as my personal accounts. I had to turn those over. And since then, I've been involved in a two and a half year battle. And I've actually most recently been put under a provision that is 5 years long, in which I cannot identify to the trade as a designer in any of the categories my former employer manufactures and sells. So that is what I'm appealing at the moment. But in the meantime, you know, I can identify to non-competitive categories, which is where I found a saving grace in designing and creating shoes.
Yeah, and I was just also so surprised when reading your bio that they can still use your name, but you receive zero commission for your own designs, you know, following that. I remember signing my first contract as a broadcast journalist. I was around the same age as you. I didn't hire an attorney. I was just happy to get my foot in the door. You know, with that hindsight, now trying to help others, what do you want people to know? You know, what would you tell, you know, someone in a similar situation as your 25-year-old self?
Experience is the best way to learn. And there are so many of us that do learn the hard way and take the long journey. And I think it's important to share those stories to help young people that really share that sentiment of, oh, I want this opportunity. And, you know, I'm feeling pressured in certain ways to just go for it, you know, and go all in. And I think we need to understand that it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive with your rights. There's a way to, you know, sign that contract or get that partnership or that dream job you want, but also make sure that your interests are being presented and protected at the table.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily learn all that in school, right? You know, when we actually make a career for ourselves. Given that now you're approaching 4 years since that contract negotiation battle, you've since obviously resigned from that position, but you carved an entirely new path in fashion designing, including changing your name publicly. How do you reflect on this time in your life that really just kind of forced you to pivot in a way that was unexpected, to say the least?
I'm so grateful because while a lot of my identity has felt jeopardized, I've always found a big sense of purpose in bringing joy to women. And that has been in the form of creating. And when you look at it from that big picture view, I saw a lot of opportunity to go down new rabbit holes and find a new way to express myself creatively, but still achieve that reciprocation and that moment of joy in making a woman feel excited or strong or just sparkly. And so that's kind of been my mentality in moving forward. And I can reach a lot more women now because shoes are so inclusive. I've of course got a lot to learn because I am diving into an entirely new trade where my skill set is not as transferable. I did all of my work in a very specific category for my whole life. So it's been a really big challenge, but I also feel like I've got this great responsibility now because I have shared my story publicly. And I think a lot of people want a solution, you know, and they want to see, okay, well, what are we going to do with this now? So that's what the shoe industry has kind of brought for me. And it's also kind of opened the floodgates to other fashion categories and accessories and storytelling. So that's been exciting.
Given that you were forced to give up your passion and your profession, which was a part of your identity as a gown designer, you changed your name publicly and you lost ownership of those social media accounts that you built a following from. All of those individually are hardships in their own right. But is there one that hurt the most?
I feel like the sense of purpose was the toughest because for so long I identified as a wedding dress designer. And that has been my biggest dream my whole life. And when I was told that I could no longer do that for an extended period of time without a whole lot of real reason behind it, at least I couldn't find the reason, it took a while to become resilient to that concept. And I still struggle with it, but I think it's important to realize that relationships are so powerful and having a support system and people around you that really do want to see you succeed and make it to that next step and get past, you know, this point. I feel like for so long I was at a rock bottom stage and then like, oh, there's a crap door there, you know, it has felt like a big falling, but having people that have picked me up and gave me reason to believe in myself in a new way forward is the message that I want to give to other people, because they could be facing some similar challenge just in a different way. And it's all about your response and how you take that next step forward, pun intended.
Yeah. And people may not initially think that of social media as a valuable asset, but how crucial was your following?
That was devastating, personally, very devastating. I definitely operated that from a place of authenticity. And, you know, my personal account, I used my birth date to open it, you know, all my friends and family that followed me, the human being, and having to hand over something like that felt like a violation of my privacy. And it was terrifying for a while. But I'm also grateful because the relationships had staying power. And so many of those people that realized what had happened, they were very quick to move over to wherever I had gone. And that is something that has kept me moving, you know, with a lot of optimism. And I think social media is something you have to be close to the fire in, you know, especially when it comes to sharing your life. And if you are putting yourself out there and you are sharing your craft, you obviously have a responsibility in it, but those relationships are real. They're real in a lot of ways. We're all human. And I'm just looking forward to rebuilding, but also carrying with me a sense of self that I think has stayed authentic.
Yeah. And when you talk about those relationships, I mean, they were so instrumental to one, you finding that resilience and that strength. But where did you find the inspiration and creativity to completely recreate your business?
It's always come from her. And that's kind of why she is Cheval was the phrase we went with as a brand, because that inspiration is, it's evergreen, it's everlasting. It always comes from that interaction and that bit of chemistry, that storyline, that personality, that bit of joy expressed. And when you do look at it from that perspective, it's endless, and it feels like the limit does not exist, and you can run against the wind and move forward. But I think that's one of the best parts about branding, is that it is about human relationships. And while there can be sparkly, gorgeous product, it's the connection where the magic happens.
How do you describe the designs in Chia Cheval? Who is the customer that you envision?
Offbeat, for sure. I was not afraid to be really emotional with my design approach and creative approach, coming from an industry that is, you know, built on love and this really big special moment. That's always been within me. And so I didn't shy away from any of that. It's a very special brand. It's specialty footwear. But we're really just getting our feeding, you know, and learning this industry and learning what she wants from us. And so we're very much approaching this from a listening factor of, we're going to do our best. We know we're going to make mistakes in some areas. But we want to see where this goes. And I was very eclectic with the assortment. So there is a lot of sneakers and flats, but then we've also got some fabulous sky-high heels, even some slippers. And I think down the road, there could be more opportunity for other categories and accessory lines, so long as they're non-competitive with my former employer. So that leaves a pretty big landscape for me, which is exciting.
Yeah, something for everyone and just the beginning for you. I want to get into your nonprofit that you launched, A Girl You Might Know. Where did the name come from?
A Girl You Might Know is just a phrase that I had been going by publicly during the period where I was still within the contract period. My contract period actually didn't end until August of 2022. So there was this period.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, it's not that long ago. And that was actually when I was hoping to be able to go back into my trade set, which ended up not being the case. But it's definitely presented an interesting landscape, just because shoes are a whole new realm, but to have a mission behind it in all that I've been through, A Girl You Might Know was really this identity in a way. And it's a reminder of that storyline. And so I loved it as the name of the foundation, because it could be any girl you might know that goes through something like this, or any person. And really, it's just about safeguarding and providing some type of resource. I think there's also a lot of youth out there that's starting their careers that don't have access to attorneys, either financially, or they just don't know what's involved in the complexity of a contract process or negotiating. And so we really wanted to put it all out there and start that conversation. And I think it's even more important to start thinking about thoughtful legislation for social media presence, because this is such a new territory and there is very little case law. We have to be so mindful of that in protecting people's identities, but also, doing the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, and what I love about it is you talk about having attorneys, you know, for young artists and entrepreneurs. But the fact that there's a lot of like attorneys that are showing up that are willing to be part of your nonprofit, it shows that there's actually a need for this.
It's outstanding to see how many people have come forward and say, I want to support this. I want to contribute hours. I want to be a guide for them. I feel this shift from like influencers to leaders. And I think it gives me the chills. It's such an exciting thing because people that do want to stand up and be a real guiding light, stand on my shoulders. I will help you get there. It is just such a good vibe. So we're gonna harness that as much as we can.
And there's a grant application too, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the grant application is financial based, and we will award one young creator or entrepreneur even that's looking to start a small business. There's a whole application process involved. There's a review period. We've got some great people on our advisory board from all walks of life, a lot of really strong, powerful women. We just want to provide those financial resources and stability to get someone started out on that right foot.
Given that, I mean, you really have just defied the odds that were laid in front of you. But is this time also a little bittersweet?
Yes, it is. I do still feel very vulnerable at times. I think that just happens when you're in a massive lawsuit. And I tried really hard to compartmentalize parts of my life so that I am still showing up the way that I feel good about myself and that I have a good impact on people. I think it's all about being human in a lot of ways, and knowing that there is going to be some major valleys, but climbing the mountains and getting over to the other side, it's just part of the journey, you know? So keep trucking.
Keep trucking. Cheval, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Vicky.
Yeah, you can write a book on career pivots, that's for sure.
Oh, I'd love to. That's a great idea.
Cheval is a shoe designer who also calls herself a chief inspiration officer, using her life-changing story as an entrepreneur to help other young business owners. Cheval is also the founder of the nonprofit A Girl You Might Know to support young females and creatives, which includes guidance on their legal rights so they avoid being subjected to unfair terms. We have more information on our Insight page. Still ahead, we'll meet a volunteer group called Petal Connection, and they are behind life-changing floral arrangements. They deliver bouquets to hospice patients and seniors across the Sacramento region. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. Excuse me, I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. I need more coffee. We're back in just a moment.